Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. News comes back with our first show in 2023. We'll start off today's show with music.
It tickles when I cry. Thank you.
a selection from bassist Carlo Mambelli's Clap Your Hands release of this year, Lullaby for Planet Earth. This is It Hurts When I Laugh, It Tickles When I Cry. Wolfgang Muthspiel on guitar and Jorge Rossi on drums and vibraphone. Before this, from sound artist, composer, and improviser Norman W. Long and record label Hausu Mountain, both based in Chicago, Illinois, the release Black, Brown, Gray, Green, and we heard Reeds. And cellist Marina Hasselberg from her Red Shift Records release of this year, Red, we heard Deep Blue. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com. For more information about the show, jazzfluxus.com. My interview is with Richard Gillis, artistic director and co-founder of the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra, trumpeter and flugelhorn player. The orchestra's sixth release is Voices, A Musical Heritage. So I want to thank you, Richard, for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Great to be here.
You're the co-founder of the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra and its artistic director. Can you explain where the line is drawn between your role as the artistic director and the co-founder?
Sometimes when you start projects, I've done other things like this where you put together a project or you put together a concert whether it's successful or not. Usually, you know, when it's successful, you try to continue with it. The art of continuing something for a period of time is really, that's different than doing something for one concert or one season even, or even a little while. You know, for groups to stay together over a period of time, you have to find the right people, the right projects, the right, I don't know, there's a lot of things involved. So it's not just me that keeps this organization going. So being artistic director, like co-founder, that was just a right idea. My co-founder and myself, was Sasha Boychuk was his name. He was one of the best jazz musicians in town, just a phenomenal clarinet player and saxophone player. He was actually in the Moscow sax quartet, and he defected around 1990 or 90s. Maybe in 92, 93, sometime early in the 90s, he defected and he stayed around Winnipeg, was one of the best musicians in town. And so we got talking and I had this concept of having a concert jazz band that, like a symphony orchestra, would play new music and old music, keep the music alive, but essentially be a concert ensemble rather than a dance ensemble or, you know, just instead of entertainment, it would be for artistic purposes. And so it was getting it going took work, but then it was keeping it going and finding every year, finding, you know, new projects to do and applying for grants. And so now it's very different. Now we're trying to be as inclusive. We've increased the number of professional musicians we use. We really try. Last year, we did a project that was specifically women in the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra, and we did a concert with all female professional musicians, and that has taken off, and we've really increased our number of female musicians in the group, and that only makes the organization stronger. because you tap into the energies of more people with great ideas. And we're trying to do the same thing with other communities in the city. And the result, you know, this album is one of the results of that, but it's only one small part of what we're trying to do. And so keeping it going as an artistic director is trying to let, in some ways, let go. It's not just my group, it's the community's group. I also have assistants, and we're adding more as we go, people that are very capable of leading concerts and have great concert ideas. And we're just trying to develop a strong organization that represents the community. And so, you know, that's, I guess, if artistic director, the part of it would be moving in that direction.
The release, quote, is a collection of commissions from 8 jazz composers meant to reflect some of Manitoba's musical heritage. First Nations, Métis, Ukrainian, Jewish, Chilean, Brazilian, Nigerian, and Icelandic. Is this the first time that the orchestra has undertaken the theme of musical heritage for a release?
Yes, this is our sixth recording. And a few years ago, I think it was our fourth recording, we did something called Canada 150, where we got different composers that were linked to Manitoba and Canada and to Winnipeg, but they did a reflection of something to do with Canadian, you know, something to do with Canada. So that had some similarities to this. Since then, our recordings have tried to bring people or composers together. This specific one, yeah, I guess I had the idea a few years ago of just let's tie into the different communities. And as you can tell, I mean, it's only 8 communities. It's some very important ones like the First Nation and the Métis, certainly. But we've got a great Filipino community in Winnipeg and many other communities is and only becoming more and more. So we hope that we can continue this project in the future. But besides First Nations and Métis, we've got a large Ukrainian population. Of course, the Jewish population in Winnipeg has been so important in music in Winnipeg. I have a good friend and a fine Chilean musician here that's been here for many years, and a Brazilian musician that's been here maybe 6 or 7 years and made his home here. Dr. Henry is known as the Nigerian musician, and he hasn't been in Winnipeg long, but boy, he's a fine musician. And the Icelandic community, Manitoba has the largest Icelandic population outside of Iceland. We had a community in about 150 years ago that settled in just north of Winnipeg. And my background is Icelandic. So that's where I took my piece from.
And it sounds like the inspiration for this release is literally all around you.
It is. It yeah. is. I mean, there's some great music being made. And I think that the jazz and the jazz band or the jazz orchestra is a good means of collaborating. It's a good medium to collaborate in, because there's flexibility in taking on different styles, and not only kind of playing them, but kind of mixing a little bit, you know, more so than many other things that would take a lot more figuring out how to combine them. Jazz musicians are kind of used to trying different things and even improvising through things. So
besides the titles of co-founder and artistic director, you're a trumpeter and flugelhorn player with the WJO, and you're a composer. Your one composition on the release is Shadows.
Right.
Would you color our imagination with the scene you've put to music?
I didn't get to know Iceland until maybe the last 20 years. I met an Icelandic musician, Bjorn Thoritsson, he's a guitarist, just over 20 years ago. he invited me back to Iceland for a concert. And since then, I've been to Iceland 14 times. So I've been there every month of the year. And I've come to, you know, there's certain impressions I have of Iceland. And one of them is folk song. Folk songs were very important, as is literacy and the written word. That was really important to Icelanders. Besides that, light and darkness really define Iceland. In the summer, it's light all the time. And in the winter, it's pretty dark almost all the time. And so you have that contrast in light and darkness. And the shadows comes from the landscape. Because of its volcanic, much of the landscape is very sharp and kind of a unique thing. It's not rounded. You know, there's areas where it's very sharp. So in a dusk situation, you see things in the shadows. And that's why, you know, there was such a belief in little people in elves and this sort of thing. What I tried to do in the piece is just reflect maybe the cold, because in the winter it does get cold, not as cold as Winnipeg, but it does get cold. And you have an austere landscape, you have shadows, and you also have other things. You have life, you have bird calls. And so I put some of those at the beginning. And then I made two folk songs based on the folk songs that I've learned. I made my own two folk songs rather than take two existing folk songs. But so I built the piece around these two folk songs, folk-like melodies that I put together. And so it's just meant to just reflect light, darkness, the shadows that you feel. There's life going on, and the folk song. It's important in Iceland.
The WJO offers education programs. You wrapped up 2022 with the Women in Jazz Symposium and Canadian Jazz Composers Workshop. How did they go?
Well, there's several things that the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra does. And one of the things we've done for many years is have big band workshops. We just did a couple of those. And we had, at our last one, we have 12 different school bands that we worked with and in played a little concert for, and that went great. The Women in Jazz is just something we've just started. We've had two now. And again, we did them online because of COVID. And so I think in the future, we'll continue to do an online portion, but we'll try to get back to in-person as well. So that's great in that it's brought out some very, just this last time we had Christine Jensen as our keynote speaker, who's a wonderful composer. From Montreal. She's now at Eastman, and she's, you know, just a fine musician and a fine composer. So that was great. And we're going to continue with that. The Jazz Composers Workshop, we've done three of them, and we will continue with more. And that will be online because we basically want it to be a meeting place for composers across Canada. And beyond, we've had people from all over just to come together and hear a couple of people talk and then just sort of talk together a little bit, just question and answer kinds of things. It's just meant to be what I would like the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra to be is a meeting place for and a place to draw people together, especially across Canada, but also from, you know, from around the world as well. What we just did a concert a month ago with a composer from Vancouver and a composer from Montreal, and they came together. They wrote a commission together, and we performed it. And we're just in the process of recording that. So, and in the last year, we've done two of those projects where we brought two composers from across Canada. And of course, our last CD or recording was two composers, one from Montreal and one from Toronto, that wrote Twisting Ways for us. So we really want to bring musicians to Winnipeg to perform and also to write and compose for the ensemble.
Who are the target participants for these workshops?
Well, for the student workshops, obviously students in Manitoba. For the online workshops, you know, it's not just women, you know, jazz musicians that come out too. Obviously, we want students, we want young professional women, we want or women that want to be professional jazz musicians, because we want to really, we need to nurture and to advocate for and encourage young women to be, choose to study jazz and to be jazz performers. So we want to draw them out, obviously, but we also want to draw out everyone that's interested in the progression of the music, because the music needs everyone. The music needs men, and they need women, and they need people from different countries to bring in more ideas. Because when I listen to every one of these recordings that we have in this new album, I mean, there are many ideas that I would never have thought of. Mm. If it was me, I would never have been able to write that piece. So that has to come from somebody that has those different experiences than me. I can bring lots of ideas about Icelandic folk songs. I can bring ideas about other things that I've grown up around or that I've heard, but there's so much in there that it's just like, okay, that enriches me, right? It enriches me just to hear what they've done. And anyhow, we've got other ideas and other projects on the go and that are quite exciting too.
Are there any who have recently made the jump from workshop participant to WJO member?
Yes. For the last 20 some years, we've put together something called the High School Honor Jazz Band. And it's really three jazz bands that we've been putting together, a junior one, an intermediate, and a senior one. The senior one's mostly grade 12s and some are grade 11s. And, you know, we have three different levels. So we have about 55 kids that come together every June, except during COVID. And through that group, you know, lots of those kids have actually gone on in music. And some of them have come and are playing with the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra today. Our piano player, Will Bonas, is just a phenomenal piano player. I wouldn't take any credit for his abilities in terms of study, you know, being in the honor band, but he was one of the, you know, members years ago. Niall Cade is a tenor saxophone player. He just returned from New York. He'd been studying there and then spent some time there. And he's a phenomenal tenor saxophone player, just phenomenal. One of the trumpet players as well. That's one of our lead trumpet players. Yeah, there's several people that have played in the group. And now that we're becoming more able to become more inclusive, and by that I mean, years ago we started with a band that was willing to play for very little. And so it was a set band for the first 5 or 6 years. And then we began to open up and get people to sit out a concert. And we usually had 5 concerts a year. And then we increased the number of things we were doing. Last year, we actually did 12 little performances. This year, we've got about 9, 10, plus some recordings, plus a tour of Manitoba. So we have about the same number of things. So what we've been able to do is increase the number of things we do. And we've been able to bring in some younger players, young professionals, or, you know, folks that we want to encourage to be professional players. So we rotate probably around 40 professional musicians. So we are very much not just a band, for certain projects, we like this recording, we will try to use the very best people we can. And then for some other things that are less stressful, we'll use some younger players. But we want this rotation. We want to develop players, not just give people work. We want to develop players and reflect the community that we're part of.
And Richard, my last question to you is, in 25 years, what do you believe is the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra's greatest accomplishment?
In the last 25 years or the next one?
No, in the 25-year history of the orchestra.
I don't know if I could nail it down to one thing, but I would say, you know, I guess you'd have to say the fact that we're still here and kind of more active than ever before is probably the first accomplishment, because it's hard. It's not the easiest thing to keep things running and keep a, you know, the finances above zero kind of thing. You know, looking back over the 25 years, there have been some just amazing concerts, like just things where, you know, just made such a difference to the band or to the audience. We've had, you know, standing ovations where it was like everybody knew that this was something special. We've had amazing guests, Bob Rookmeyer, Curtis Fuller. I'm just drawing blanks here, but just some fabulous, fabulous musicians, fabulous music and concerts. So that would be the second thing. And then the third thing for me would be just the fact that we've been able to become more community tied and where we can serve and help more musicians, not just be a band, because anybody can be a band. But if you can be an organization that can really tie into the community and kind of make a difference, I think that's pretty satisfying. And that's maybe, I don't know if it's the most satisfying, because if we weren't here, if we weren't surviving until now, we wouldn't be able to keep doing those things. But those three things, maybe just the survival, the fantastic concerts that we've been able to have, and the fact that we can share that with more people and tie into more communities.
For more information, WinnipegJazzOrchestra.com. End today's show with a selection from the release nominated in the Best Jazz Instrumental Album category for the upcoming Grammys, drummer Peter Erskine's Live in Italy on Erskine's Fuzzy Music Records. We'll hear Turnaround. Erskine is joined by Alan Pasqua at the keyboard and Derek Olis on bass. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced for and airing on WGXC 90.7 FM, a listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WGXC, wgxc.org. For more information about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or jazzfluxus.com. Thank you. Happy holidays to you all.